Hosted by John Curnell,
Danny McDevitt,
Val Heffler.
That's me.
I'm Dickie, and it's Grim After Dark.
Thank goodness for mute buttons, because I just did the nastiest cough. Right over that and almost ruined the intro worse than anyone ever has before. Welcome to Grim After Dark. We are Warhammer's only late night show for some reason. I really wish you could hear our green room as we're waiting to go live, as you would find out why Val thinks that Black Orcs can go in chariots. I think that's what I got from it. But anyway, we're here to misinform and entertain as we talk about the goal over the last week in the world of Games Workshop. Tonight, we are going to break the bottom of the content barrel as we answer some of Quora's list of 40k questions. Prices reject. That's about it. Before we go on, let's meet the team who make it all possible. First up, it's a co-host with the co-most all the way from Moscow, Idaho. He puts the T into RTT. It's Danny McDevitt. You don't have a name. Classic. The danger of 75% of the show having access to soundboards.
Everyone pushes the soundboard button.
I'm just going to get tuba music every fucking time, John.
And then a little polite cheer for being instantly demonetized for swearing within the first five minutes. That's usually Val's job, Danny.
Is that my job?
Usually Val's job. And speaking of, he's the beautiful face of everything square-based, a fantasy enthusiast, and a 40K denier. It is Val Heffelfinger.
Oh my God, is that...
What was that?
That's you doing that, Dickie. That's very bad wave. MP3, whatever it is.
Wait. What?
So send him out again. Send him out again, Dickie, and we'll have him come back in with appropriate entry music that is the right way for his...
All right, we're trying this again.
Are we doing Danny or just keeping Danny?
No, just you can do me too if you want.
Just do Val. So Danny, introduce Val.
Hey guys, Val's here.
Hey.
Also.
Why is that his music?
I mean, that's not fair if Danny's music is Danny's music and that's my music.
Val's music is really hype.
I'm gonna have to make Danny's music better now.
Do you know Danny?
Well, your music sounds like lasers would sound if they were music.
That's exactly what I could have dreamt for.
Danny, that's how we get there. Val won't do the music anymore because he feels there needs to be equality between entrance musics. Mm-hmm. And finally, he's the man behind the Iron Production Curtain in Canada. It is Tech Priest Dickie, famed Canadian coach and American sympathizer.
Hello, it is me.
Who's
using that? I don't know who to believe who has the soundboard. Like, I have a pretty good idea.
What?
Those are definitely Dickie sounds.
What? Yes.
Oh.
No.
Because definitely. They're jarring and they hurt me. There's a good one. I have that one too. It's my favorite.
It just keeps happening.
Yeah. Oh, here we go.
Also, on the swearing point, we got ad limited once for swearing early, but I'm sure we swear constantly.
No.
On Square. No. We don't on Squarebase?
No.
Maybe we get it out in the pre chat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe.
That's impressive.
It's very
I don't know. I always tick the like occasional swear words and stuff button so that way we're not like dishonest.
Right. Dropping hard C's and big T's all over the place.
Hard C's and whatever a big T is. Titties?
John Bellway, straight in chat. You put thought into this show. It's not the result of head trauma, or the show is the result of head trauma that requires thought afterwards. This week's comment of the week. It's comment of the week time, and I'm very excited about this one. I didn't put the full conversation in. You can watch our old videos to find it. But it's this wonderful guy here, which says, I'm actually going to
play this
real quick here. I knew from the intro let me do this right here.
Yeah.
I knew from the into music. Oh, sorry. Let me try again. I knew form. Into music. This would be the ampersand, and I was right.
Please stop doing that.
As Denny and I were talking about this week here, you can pretty much say anything to us. We genuinely don't care. But don't come after our music.
Don't you dare. We have
fantastic music. It's literally the only thing people enjoy about us.
Right.
I mean, we've never really asked anyone.
Sure.
I've always assumed that our set was the tryhardiest set and we had the best music, but
it is. It is pretty tryhard. It's pretty good though.
This set was made by someone who works for Paradox Games, guys.
Yeah. Think about that.
Fucking Crusader Kings campaign map is what this is.
Right. Same quality.
Maybe a little bit more work went into the Crusader Kings map.
it's not like, you know, I don't know. What is that? Cut straw? I don't know. What is that?
Split hairs.
Let's move on. Yeah. Split hairs. Yeah. That's what I'm looking for. Thank you, Val.
You'll be all happy to know, John, 100% done with school now. So Footloose, fancy free. Danny, deep in finals. Does not want to be here right now. No. More so than Val last week.
Last week.
Yeah. Oh, you were rough.
When you had the stomach virus, remember?
Yeah.
I don't think it was stomach virus. Anyway, it was a spectacular end of the show. Photo finish, you might say.
Well, you would say that's your body creating a physical reaction to the news. The custodians can be women now. No, I'm kidding. Cut that. I don't want to even mention that. I'm so done with talking about that.
There actually, there is something I really wanted to talk about on that, which is, although I guess we kind of touched on it, because I keep seeing in comments everywhere that this is the shareholders driving this, that it's actually the BlackRock conspiracy can never remember the friggin' acronym. Anyway, basically, it's a way of non-financial measurements of stocks and companies to try and grade them on, you know, whether or not they're, you know, net negative. They might make a lot of money, but maybe they're terrible for everything else. And like somehow that this is why there's female custodians. And it just makes me so upset every time I read it. It makes me more angry than any other comment about it because it's really dumb. And that's basically all I have.
You would think you would have to have majority shares, even though that doesn't really count to who's on the board, to have a say in what happens. And for someone to own majority shares, you would have to spend $1,888,000,000 today. So there you go. If you don't like the lore, put your money where your mouth is.
Put your money where your mouth is.
And spend $1 billion.
Maybe.
As I was building the show this week, I didn't want to talk about it at all. But
brick by brick.
It's still everywhere. So I went really lowbrow. We're using Val's favorite bumper today. But one of them was saying, we need Elon Musk to buy Games Workshop in order to save us from woke. And I'm like, have you guys not seen what he did to Twitter?
I mean, they're all paying for it. Like just about every terrible take I ever see has a blue check.
To be fair, there's less.
They are putting their money where their mouth is.
Yeah.
You know?
$1.1 billion. Let's start a Kickstarter. I didn't clear this with you beforehand, but can you just go straight to Val's favorite bumper? I think you like it.
That is my favorite bumper. Yeah, I wasn't expecting that. I thought you were being sarcastic.
No, I'm being nice occasionally now.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm not a charlatan, so that's good.
You would not in here, Val. You would have to be just the biggest ass to call you a charlatan. That's all I know. And there's absolutely no backstory about this whatsoever. So there's nothing to go into. So I couldn't find any content this week that was not referencing either diversity and inclusion or custodians. Like, here's the real pain point. I don't care what goes in the lore, but keep your shit posts varied because I don't want to talk about this for 3 weeks in a row. So what I did do is I went to a site called Quora. Are you gentlemen familiar with what Quora is?
I am.
Breakfast place?
That's the one that makes you log in now every time you try and get something good from it.
Absolutely, and I had to. So they have my deets now. But Danny, for the listening audience at home, what is Quora?
John, Quora is a website where you can ask stupid questions and get opinions from people who may or may not be experts.
And do you know what? I know three people with me right now who may or may not be experts under the search terms Warhammer 40K and Games Workshop. So I was hopeful that we could maybe answer some questions about the wonderful world that we inhabit, or fan base we inhabit, in the section I call Totally Reasonable Warhammer Questions.
Oh, God.
So get your thinking fats on here.
Okay.
I'm always wearing my thinking fat.
I read, I don't speak or do anything. Question one. In Warhammer 40,000, what faction is the weakest when compared to the lore?
Probably. I've often heard Necrons argued in this case.
Okay.
I think
consistent nerfs to them because they kept winning. I might say otherwise.
No, but like just like the power of their weapons and stuff, and the lore is always like crazy nuts and like.
Oh, are we comparing their actual rules to the rules in the lore? Or are we saying in the lore which faction is weakest?
Hold on, what faction is the weakest when compared to the lore?
Yes.
Yeah, I think it's like relative to like the way they appear in like the way it appears in books, even like Space Marines too. Like you fucking run, you can like take over a planet with like half of one.
Yeah.
And you know, they die. They die like the
shell destroys a building, stuff like that.
Yeah. I guess everything's kind of OP compared to the lore.
Yeah. Danny, what do you think is the most OP compared to, or underpowered compared to lore?
What is the most underpowered compared to lore? Mm-hmm. I guess Necrons would be at the top of my list. I think that's probably pretty true. But Eldar, I think, don't quite play out the same way as they would in the lore. I mean, they're supposed to be like fast, but I don't think that you can really kind of do that on the tabletop and have it be just and have like any justice be served to them.
That's fair. They just suddenly appear, wipe you out. Yeah. Oh, it's super fun.
There was that time, there was that very long period of time where Inari were a thing. Maybe that got close.
That maybe got a little close.
I've never heard of Inari, and I definitely don't forget like traumatic events happening in my life. So I'm not quite sure what you're
like,
referring
to. Inari, way worse than female custodes. Like, way worse.
So I could have just called this one we talk about female custodes again. Oh, next up. How powerful are Star Wars Force users in comparison to Psykers from Warhammer 40,000? What Psyker level would they be?
A Force user is like a weird from Necromunda.
Yeah, right? Like they're kind of like bullshit compared to Psykers.
It's not even close.
Yeah. I'd say like your average Force user moves a rock, gives you a little bit of a throat scratch.
Right.
Maybe talk you out of something.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's more powerful ones. Sure, you got like, you know, Palpatine and Vader and...
Still, they would be owned very quickly.
Oh, yeah. But like an alpha level Psyker, it would be no question.
Like a full alpha, bro.
Perfect. Fantastic. Hey, Dickie.
Hey.
Let's kick this dead Mo guy. He has terrible opinions.
Okay. I got moving it. On.
Christopher J. De La Rosa.
Did I troll chat?
Yeah.
Sick.
Says, what is your favorite edition of Warhammer 40K and why?
My favorite edition of 40K very easily is fourth edition.
Fourth.
Because I thought the terrain rules were the best rules that they've ever had. And it was, to me, the most fun to play. I think that was kind of the height of 40K for me. Mm-hmm.
Fourth edition.
Val, what's going there, Val?
There's just a fucking cursor flying around my head.
I do like Space Mountain in chat. Palpatine would get folded like a chair.
I would say like I have tremendous nostalgia for 8th only because of like just how exciting it was. Mm-hmm. But a lot of that comes from the fact that it was good before that and was bad for a long time. And then everyone was really excited when it didn't like suck completely. So yeah, but I mean, that was the most tuned up I ever was for 40K for sure.
Dickie, what's your favorite edition?
I really enjoyed 9th actually.
9th?
Yeah. World Eaters were just coming out and they were super strong. And yeah, no, they were a lot of fun. So 9th, I think 9th.
For Dickie, the edition didn't break, but Val did.
Directly correlated to the 8th edition or Codex as well.
That was
good times.
I saw him high on a plate reading that Codex.
For me, 6, just for nostalgia. That's when I got back in after dropping out after 3rd.
Wow, so, that is the first positive thing ever uttered about 6th edition.
Yeah, I just have good nostalgia about it. And I think my favorite thing was a guy from work was like, yeah, just come over and play. And I was like, I haven't played in forever. So I went over and played. And he did a learning game with me where I was a bunch of orc boys and he close combat orc boys. And he was a Tau stationary fire. And it was still, he was like, oh, I'm sorry. Okay. But you know, he wasn't laughing 2 weeks later when I bought my way to winning by just going around with a Burna Boy truck. That just, the most fun I've ever had in 40K was a Burna Boy truck in 6th edition where you just put down one template. And you're like, okay, that's 100 wounds.
it's pretty funny.
Because good luck. That was, my favorite thing. But also, screw templates. I'm really happy they're gone. Because after I started doing that trick, like deployment and movement took hours while he tried to space everyone out as much as possible.
Right.
Yeah.
It'd be a lot easier if they had to be arranged in tight little blocks.
Yeah. That maybe templates would work a little bit better on. Although I will say the parallax error can be a real bitch. I would like the scatter dice to just go away in general. That'd be fun.
You know what I want in 40K? And this might just be a fun thing that we do. Awesome. Joel Atkins in chat. 6 was when my old gaming club died. Yeah, consistent with my experience of 6.
Was it the knobs or the paladins, Joel? With the mixed equipment?
Oh, man, I forgot what I was going to say. Doesn't even matter. This is fantastic. Our next one, very serious question coming up here. On the Warhammer 40,000 signs with skulls, why do skulls have such small upper jaws? It's not pretty.
Warhammer 40,000 signs with skulls, why do skulls have such small upper jaws?
Yeah.
First of all, what's an... Like, because this is your jaw. This is your skull.
Look.
Yeah.
Oh, he said upper jaw, god damn it. So
this question.
Are we talking about like the mandibles? Are we talking back here?
Look, this person's been waiting 2 years and no one has answered him on Quora about
this. Let's get it. We should have logged in to answer some of these.
I want it to be more pretty for sure. Like, let's try and make that work.
Yeah. Do you worry that if you made more aesthetically pleasing skulls, people would complain you were trying to shoehorn women into the game again?
Turns out the upper jaw is just the upper part where your teeth are. There you go.
Large dental implants, very important for signage. Warhammer 40K. Next up, by the way, guys, this is it. I have nothing else until people stop complaining on the battlefield.
What?
Thank you. In Warhammer 40,000, what would life be like for a clan of middle-class people in the Imperium? I'm assuming they're saying clan because they don't want to force families into the lore.
Clan of middle-class people in the Imperium.
I don't think there are very many middle-class people in 40K, so I don't think that, like, I don't know that you can actually answer this question because I don't think there is, like, I think it's either your upper crust or your more or less a serf.
Yeah.
Would there not be? Certainly, there are service providers like shopkeeps and owners. I think that's like the original OG origin of the term middle class, where you like provide goods and services. That's why that's why moneyed people look down on them because they could get money, but they weren't of status.
What's a really good blue collar job in the 40K universe?
One where you're not a lobotomized servitor would probably be. Although, on the other hand,
I would watch a comedy show with a
lawyer. Probably wouldn't be bad.
Maybe like a doctor. I could see that.
They, right? Yeah, they can do real shit. And like do bio, like.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. They can make RoboCop no problem in the 41st millennium.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Just letting Joel know in chat real quick that they spelled clan with a C, so it's fine. Yeah. Perfect. So yeah, there is no middle class. Answered. Perfect.
So my entire understanding of the lore comes from like Eisenhorn and shit. And I swear to God, they like go into like taverns and stuff. And like he's got like a butler. Like, you know, like there is like a service class for sure. And like they make money. Like there'd be a middle class. I mean, like someone whose pop was a shopkeep or something. They don't have to be.
Let's put that middle class is at corporate procurement. Next up, what is the gameplay of Warhammer 40,000 and what are the necessary components?
Pull up a chair.
Like, okay, we'll break this one down to separate questions there. But yeah, what is the gameplay of Warhammer 40,000 and what are the necessary components?
The gameplay?
The gameplay of Warhammer 40,000 is turn-based and strategy and strategic. You need to have a measuring device, miniatures, and dice.
And tray and a table.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you need it. You don't need that stuff, but
the hardest thing?
Flat surface?
Yeah, flat surface. There you go. I will give you that.
And the hardest thing, a friend.
And someone. and a fellow sucker. You need someone else to.
Wargaming really is the worst pyramid scheme of all times because it starts with one person who wants to do it. And he gets someone else to do it, but then they have to get someone else to do it. Damn.
That's right.
Part two, is it an enjoyable game or does it require a significant investment of time and money? Oh, it's an either or. You can't say both.
Well, I think this person self-selected out of being a potential 40K player because those two statements cannot be mutually exclusive if you're going to play 40K.
And ideally, the thing that you do enjoy is like those things usually. I mean, if it's really fun, it usually costs a lot of money.
And it's it's a significant investment of time, first and foremost. And then I think the biggest investment probably is certainly time. Because like the dollars do cost a lot, but I think the people who do try and rationalize the expense aren't wrong, like considering that like there's times where very few of my like unfocused thoughts aren't Warhammer. You know, like it's very all encapsulating. So like, you know, yes, I mean the buy-in does seem extreme, but you kind of you can get a lot out of it. You know,
just to clarify with both of you guys here, you're both saying that it's not a fun game. It's not enjoyable. It requires a significant investment of time and money.
Well, I think it's an incredibly enjoyable game.
I think it's enjoyable.
Sometimes. So it doesn't require a significant investment of time and money.
That requires a significant investment of time and money.
One or the other, Val. Come on now.
Look, John, I think that the second part is more true than the first part. Because some people don't enjoy it. But Warhammer is always a significant investment of time and money.
What I really want to see, and Val, you might be able to help make this happen. I want a YouTube channel, or at least a YouTube series. Someone who keeps winning Warhammer games, but just despises the game.
And I think that person's got to exist multiple times all over the place. The
whole setup is just, God, this game is so stupid. I can't believe I wasted 9 hours of my Saturday for an $85 credit for my local game store.
Coming in seventh edition, that felt like every single person still playing 40K.
Fair point. I say, yeah. Let's go find some 7th edition. John,
no joke. That was me in 2015 after they canceled Fantasy. Like, I'm like, I'm so tired of 40K. I don't want to play this anymore. I'm pissed off at Games Workshop. Why do I come in and do this? Like, I only used to play 40K to get money to buy more Fantasy models.
It's your side hustle.
Do you think, how would you have reacted, Danny? And Val too. How would you guys would have reacted if Fantasy was canceled with the way the internet and social media is today? Would it have been a quiet reaction?
Well, it's 2015, dude. It's not like
cell phones are more prevalent. There's a lot more outspoken.
2015 was peak. 2015 was peak Facebook and peak like that's when like Trump got elected and Brexit happened. Like, this is like
2016. That was so far in the future.
Like, 2015 is not like ancient history. Like, all that shit still existed. It was patently absurd how they handled it. And I think I wasn't around for it. Like, it all happened actually just like, I guess, in the timeline, like minutes before I started paying attention. And like, I was only looking at the 40K stuff. So it was like after I was super into 40K for like a year, I was like, hey, I wonder what's going on with fantasy. And I was like, what's Age of Sigmar?
I like to think, Val, your interest in Warhammer Fantasy was similar to Slaanesh's interest in the Eldari. At which point, when you were born and your interest in fantasy was born, it destroyed it. And then it has to slowly grow back. But you just devour all fantasy content now, much like Slaanesh devours Elder Souls.
Yes. But also, let's be clear here. 40K was dead in my heart. And then I got into fantasy.
Make sure we got the timeline right here, okay?
Yeah.
Speaking of timeline, Danny, you're probably best to explain this here. What is the best way to introduce someone to the world of Warhammer 40,000 without overwhelming them with this complex lore? No answer to this yet. Caveat, you cannot use Eisenhorn.
That's all I got, man. And I still haven't finished reading it.
All right, deal, John. I would start them with God's Ghost.
I would just be like...
Has anyone read...
Or Ravner.
Caiaphas Kane?
Caiaphas Kane, yeah.
Caiaphas Kane, like that. I've read like synopses of a few of those. I'm like, this sounds like something I could be into, but I've never actually read any of it. I don't know.
It's really like tongue in cheek.
Yeah, it seems fun.
Like they don't.
Sandy Mitchell really doesn't take the character very seriously, and that's great.
Yeah,
it makes it fun.
I personally would hand them 67 books for the Horus Heresy and be like, here's some light reading.
I will say, and I have no idea. I haven't read it, but I don't know if you have to have more context to enjoy it like it has. But I don't think I've ever heard of a book that has been more widely just loved than The Infinite and the Divine.
It is so good. Oh, okay, that's a really good start. Well, that's a good start one for Necrons, but it doesn't really explore anything. Well, that is a good book though. It's just
everyone
story.
Seems to really love, like, and that fun always comes up, and like just like the characters and like the weird romance between the two of them. Like, it kind of reminds me of like Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy in some ways, like the way that like they leave each other on planets for millennia and stuff. Like, again, I haven't read it, but it just seems like something that could hook you into it and have enough references to the wider world that you like start to wonder like what everything else is about.
Yeah. I think, and for me, the answer is just overwhelm them. If they can't withstand being given 70 things to read, then they shouldn't be playing 40K.
Interesting. Nice gatekeeping, dude. You really hold the line.
Thank you. You hold the gate.
I have a thing, like, the other thing is too, is like the overwhelming thing, because it is crazy to think about, like, getting into this game, like from zero. But for those, the people, like, if it just gets your hooks, it's hooks into you, right? So, like, whatever that, like, hook is, after that, it's effortless. You know, like, it's not overwhelming. You're just voracious about it.
Infinite and the Divine sold me on playing Necrons as an army. Not through any of the cool battle stuff or kind of the pocket dimensions or any of that. But there was a scene where Trazin and Orokin are essentially in court. And they're trying to argue their case. And is it Orokin that just keeps rewinding time on Trazin until he gets his way? And it's just this whole thing of just like, oh, I got to rewind it again. He didn't do it the right way. And then at the end, Trazin's just like, wait, something was weird right now. And I'm like, okay, this is an army I can play. Because this is the level of pettiness to do that was fantastic.
It's pretty great. It's pretty great when he realized that it happened too. Like, yeah, it was a good scene.
Yeah. Can you guys think of an event or situation in Warhammer 40,000 lore that at first glance seemed to be really cool, but was actually horrible and full of problems? And no, we're not talking about Nemesis.
Oh. I guess I shouldn't reference certain blood games that recently occurred. This just pops into my head, but like when they go around the galaxy collecting all the Primarchs, seems traumatic in everyone that I've ever read, like the ripping him from his homeworld and all that stuff. And then it leads to other things that aren't so great.
That's true. True. It's very like, yeah, you never really think about traveling the galaxy, ripping people from their homes and being like, these are your armies now. Go just lead them. And like Lorgar is just like, I was just a nerd up until this point. I don't know what to do. Bunch of people. Going right, Kurz cool. was just like, I'm just a shitty Batman ripoff. I don't know how to lead a bunch of armies.
Also true.
No, I'm not getting you at all today, Danny, am I? With like any of your stuff.
No, all these are factual, John.
I've never heard him. I don't know anything about that Primarch, much like all of them. But I've never heard him referred to as a dollar store Batman. That's interesting.
Oh, Kurz, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He's a worse Batman than Moon Knight.
John, the worst.
Wow.
Was he worse than Green Arrow? Arrow is exactly the same as Batman, basically.
Not true. He can only murder up to 7 people at a time because of the quiver. It has a very limited ammo supply.
Anyway, so the worst 40K lore that appears cool on the outside is the Uriel Ventress novels.
What happens in those? Oh, the Ultramarines?
Yeah. Because it appears like the first novel's like, oh, this is really great. Like, okay, these are Ultramarines. They're doing their thing. They're fighting against Necrons. That guy has a Satan arm. Okay, whatever. And then it gets to the part where they're going into the eye, where they get banished and they have to go into the Eye of Terror and they get picked up by the demon train.
I'm sorry.
That train anyone wants to be on.
Gonna have to ask you to, because I swear you could have said that a train. They were picked up by a train.
People around the warp.
Yeah.
Start a demon train. Demon train.
I think it sang that song at one point. Have you read that book, Will?
No.
You're spoilers.
No, Danny, I'm a charlatan. I don't know anything.
You're from Charlotte?
Yeah. Definitely not bitter.
Charlatonian. Very different.
Oh, sorry. I just figured that was the name that they called themselves in that city.
Guys, this one's a special one for you both. Everyone talks about Warhammer 40K, but I've seen a few mention Warhammer without the 40K. Is there a different version? What is it like? Is it as grimdark as 40K? I'm going to put like a 2-minute timer on you guys, by the way. Otherwise, we're going to go to 8. A.M.
It may not be a bad thing.
Please, this is you, Danny.
Yeah, Warhammer is a different setting. Yeah, it's pretty grimdark, but probably less grimdark than 40K. But not.
Do you get more grimdark than everybody dies?
Well, I mean, everybody dies, Val. Come on.
But everybody dies?
I mean, everybody dies in the end, for sure.
Like everybody dies.
Drago, who appears, that guy lived.
Drago was in fantasy?
Yeah, dude. In the End Times books.
What?
Yeah, dude.
Yo, tell me something about this. What?
Yeah, dude, he's in the books. It talks about
like, Khaldor Drago.
Yeah, Khaldor Drago, dude.
Fucking he's in
the
warp.
A mountainous silver knight. Something like
that. Yeah, who spat death from armed with a sword and shield that spat death from his fist. That's
are you like, fucking kidding it's totally me?
Him. It's absolutely him.
It's absolutely
yeah. Matt Ward.
But yeah, it's great. You should check it out. That's what I would say to this person, John.
Okay. Blue Val's mind as well. Not only bolters in 40K, but entire ass Grey Knights.
Mm-hmm. And like the result, they were often tongue in cheek with it being sort of like a different place in the warp and stuff, but that's so funny that they actually made a guy who was clearly Khaldor Drago in the End Times.
Mm-hmm. Do you think it was just a rogue GW intern? Railing against the End Times, destroying his job.
No, it was Matt Ward because he was also horny for Grey Knights. This is one of the things about that man.
He didn't have any time to explain how they were boring dead sisters of battle over their armor to protect them against the tainted blood.
Now that's how females should appear in the lore.
That's, see, that's more what I'm used to be honest with you. That kind of gets me in my comfort zone.
My go-to is still that people believe are really pro Sisters of Silence right now because the only women they're used to being around don't talk to them and make them feel uncomfortable. But yeah, no. What is the biggest misconception in Warhammer, Val?
What's the biggest misconception in Warhammer?
Yeah.
As a culture?
Sure. I think that the entire question's there.
It's open. It's kind of an open-ended one. I don't know.
The disturbing part here is...
I'm struggling to think of any conceptions of Warhammer that are, in fact, misconceptions.
Someone put here, many fans will commonly say that there are no good guys in Warhammer 40,000. That is wrong. Putting aside the many characters in the Imperium of Men wouldn't be evil if they weren't in a galaxy where almost everything killed them. Which I think if you have to justify why you're evil to start with, that doesn't really help your cause.
Yeah, I think everyone's kind
of... It does make you a better villain, though.
True, if you have understandable goals.
Mm-hmm.
Classic.
Conflict, I think, is really what makes you more interesting overall. Danny, you got anything spring into mind?
I got one.
Oh, go. Yeah, go ahead.
This is one that I think is important, especially this pertains to the gamers. The one thing I will always bristle against is that it's for like losers who are hanging out alone and like are in their mom's basement or whatever, because it's actually a game you have to, if you want to play it, you have to trick at least one other person into playing it with you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the people who actually play the game are it's a fundamentally social game. And that's, whether or not they're like social people is a different thing, but like tournament goers and such, like you do have to get out of your house. You do have to like have connections with other people. And so for me, that's always been one of the key elements of it, is just the fact that it's not a game you play with, you know, complete strangers on the internet. It's a game that you have to be present for and meet new people who are often the exact same age roughly as you and culture and gender, but they're still new.
Yep. Dickie, this one is for you.
Okay.
What does the phrase blood for the blood god mean?
Oh, so they're like kind of saying, hey, Korn, take some blood for the blood god. He's the blood god. Korn.
Very good. Succinct definition.
Also, I'll add to this. They say skull for the skull throne. Am I ruining your bit?
They're a culture. They're a culture group. What was the question earlier about something that's creepier when you think of it? Is Dickie's explanation of the worshippers of Korn be like, hey, you're a blood god, right? I mean, here's some blood.
Here's some blood.
You want some blood? Some blood.
It's the spilling of blood.
This guy wants some blood. You got any blood?
It'll bottle it up and sell it on the street.
As Rob Ford once said. Hey, you want some blood? I can get you some blood. No problem.
I got a guy.
Except he was saying blow, and he was the mayor of our city.
With the threat level of the Warhammer 40K setting rising exponentially, how long can Games Workshop stall an end-time style event? I will say this question was from 5 years ago, so at least 5 years.
See. 40K learned from fantasy. They did what Gav Thorpe wanted to do, which is to have an almost end time, like a
form of chaos, if you will,
a catastrophic event that sort of
tell you
moves things forward. But like, so the world is shitty, like everything is shittier and like more out of control. They've actually got more out of control, but it's not over, which makes it interesting.
I gotta tell you, I would fuck with 40K end times. I wouldn't want it to be like the end, like maybe that's just like a side quest thing where you jump into the future and they write end times and do 40K end times. I could fuck with that. That would be great.
thing that I think would be cool is if they like the end times would be like what the like a I don't know an advance like a true advance like a real fundamental advancement of the story, like the emperor dies, like that's that's something I would think would be very interesting, both in the sense of like then what happens, like does he come back to life, does he like, you know, I love those concepts, like where he's like being he's a perpetual that's just been forced to live as a pile of goo.
So other people can have control over the place.
Yeah, like that's all super cool. So like what happens if you come, but then it kind of gets, then it would be boring, I guess. Yeah. It wouldn't be as good.
The goo reforms and the emperor is alive on the golden throne, but he can't fucking move. Yeah, so,
there.
Yeah.
I have a question. Referencing the Sacred Dick's malediction. Have they done anything cool with it? Like, has it wound up being cool?
What the...
Cicatrix
Maledictum. What it did was it allowed GW to keep the lion on one side and Gulliman on the other.
Yeah.
Did they do anything cool with that? Because like I thought when that was happening, I was like, oh man, maybe he'll be like have a dark Imperium or like a fucking alternative view or something.
I was hoping, but man, they really haven't played into that at all.
I still moved so if they did an Imperium Civil War, that would be.
And what was the thing they were going to try and do, like a Black Library Horus Heresy style thing with it, where they were going to like really lean into like developing a really interesting modern story? War? Yeah,
they've been doing that. They've
Dawn of Fire.
Dawn of Fire is the name of the series, and they're solid OKs.
Yeah,
like
I agree with all that.
It suffers because it's like sitcom style, right? Because stuff happens, but truly nothing monumental can happen. Nothing big can kind of change. They're not going to announce massive story upgrades in the book without kind of doing it first. So no matter what happens, by the end of the story, they've always kind of returned to this new status quo. And that kind of takes away a little bit for me because there's no, like, you're talking about characters I know don't die because you still sell them for $70. And we're talking about events that I know aren't going to progress because you're not going to update that yet.
Yeah.
This one for maybe the economists amongst us here. How does Games Workshop justify its high prices?
Because we keep buying.
By selling things at those price points.
Yep, that's correct.
People keep buying them. Which old Games Workshop game should be relaunched?
Gotta be Mordheim.
Mordheim from Val.
Mordheim's good. I'd like
Man to of War.
BFG's a good one.
Man,
forever on the game that I that like more than Epic ever would be on a list of games that I would be interested. And especially when like X-Wing was hot. Like, how do they not just immediately be like, fuck you, X-Wing?
X-Wing compared to Battlefleet Gothic is like trying to race a Ferrari with a tank. Like, X-Wing is a fantastic little game system, which is very, like, turnabout, interactive. Like,
that was very condescending.
Armada, though, like, those rules, like, modified to be, like, with Warhammer ships would be really fun. Because that was a great game.
Ooh, for sure.
That'd be interesting.
Armada was the one I was thinking of. The fucking Capital Fleet game.
Yeah.
In either event, like to me, like again, like games exist in the tabletop like wargaming world because GW doesn't compete in those areas. You know what I mean? Like so like the fact that they never relaunched BFG when that stuff was hot, like I don't like immediately they would have just killed it. I mean, like it would have just been like half those X-Wing players would probably disgruntled fantasy players.
They really missed out on re-releasing Full Tilt.
They actually just re-released Full Tilt. Yep.
Did they?
Yeah.
I will always go with Gorkamorka, even though it killed Specialist Games. Thank you for like, giving me that bit of knowledge.
Would be good.
I love that game, and I feel they could really do justice now.
And they kind of did it. About,
I think the reason that they didn't redo Battlefleet Gothic when X-Wing was going around, because I think GW is a burdensome beast. And their lead time from conception to market is an incredibly long amount of time.
that may be true, but like,
yeah, look at Old World.
there's still like an appetite for that Fleet game. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. Maybe. And the thing is, the only one that would do it is SDS, and they seem to be firmly locked in only being allowed to play in the Horus Heresy stuff. So, like, and I don't know if there's enough meat on that bone to be super interesting.
There is no. Dickie, run Val's favorite bumper again, because technically it works for this one. Yeah, you thought we're done with questions? No, this is a whole episode of questions.
Oh my gosh.
Hey, these guys.
We have two of our patrons or people who support us here, starting with Krieger Chaz, who says, what would Terminator 1 and 2 look like if it was Arkin and Tristan that got sent back in time to kill, save Sarah Connor? Well, Danny, to start off with this, we're going to say Treason kill, Arkin save.
Treason kill, Arkin save?
Yeah, so Treason's trying to kill Sarah Connor.
Arkin's so Treason is the Terminator.
Yeah. Arkin is Kyle Reese, but also a Terminator.
A good Terminator, if you will.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be okay. I think it'd be an okay movie. I think the problem here is that
what?
Between Terminators 1 and 2, you're talking about different, like, heroes, right? And the hero and the villain get transposed.
But this,
what if they were both sent back to kill Sarah Connor?
I like that plan. I love that. Sounds like a great plot to a movie.
But like, what they have to like battle each other to get it first. Like,
no, they have to work together, which is worse.
Just I think they're just tripping over each other's dicks, trying to be the first one to kill Sarah Connor. I think that would probably be what it is.
It's Chaz Sintem again. Here, who says, with GW's ability to tastefully incorporate non-British cultures and representations into their IP, such as languages like Black Library's White Scars accents, avoiding blatant stereotypes like space wolves and women, Vex female posse, what culture should be included next?
I'd like to see a Canadian army.
You know? Okay, that probably already exists. What would the most Canadian army be right now?
In 40K or in fantasy?
Yeah. What would it be?
Well, in fantasy, they're the Dark Elves for some reason. in 40K.
Yeah, I think it'd be Votan because
we're not short.
You two are Canadians. You're shorter than both me and Danny.
You guys are gigantic.
Well, I mean, what I said is factually correct, though. So, like, I can only really see Votan.
So it must hold true for every situation exactly. As well.
Are we Tau?
Logically.
Maybe Tau, but like a middle power. Yeah, all right. I like that. A middle power, punch it above its weight. Yeah. You know, everyone thinks we're nice, but we're not really.
Not that nice.
There is a second part of this question.
Good at war. We've been good at the wars we've been in.
Yeah, that's true.
How would GW include Texas culture in a chapter or craft world with respect being the keyword?
This is touchy.
They already hate Val so much. I don't know.
I think you could do it with like, I don't know, maybe an Imperial Guard regiment of like Rough Riders with six shooters. Or
darn tootin'.
Yeah. Or you use the Sulfur Hounds because they, you know, like from AdMech. They're much like their state, a tomb world has become, or, you know, a forge world is, you know, a desolate and lifeless place that often has, you know, a lot of power problems because, you know, different projects are going on. And so
I thought you said bowel problems.
No, bowel problems. Although that might happen from the vast amount of meat.
Mm-hmm. Definitely a lot of GI tract issues, I'm sure, cropping up.
So, Danny. They have a stratagem called Yeehaw. What does that stratagem do?
John, it's actually pronounced Yeehaw. And what they do is
really going for that Gen Z mark. Huh?
It allows them to advance and charge, John, on any unit. Rootin' tootin' though is a whole different thing.
I think now when I'm just lost for ideas, I'm just going to look up some American stereotypes and we'll just make an army about them because that's fantastic. That's the best.
What is the special rule? Remember the Wallamo.
Oh, I forget. Man. It's like Vengeance for Cadia.
Everybody dies.
And then our last listener question I have here from Gannon's. This is the old Emperor meme we had on last week where Malkador says, shit, it's 420. That means call me the Emperor, implying that the Emperor raises from the Golden Throne every 20th of April. And Gannon's asks, if the Horus Heresy did have the Emperor, who would be traitor Primarchs? Instantly, Dorne.
Yeah, and Gulliman.
Dorne, Gulliman.
Okay. They're narcs, dude.
Probably the lion, too, to be honest.
No, I don't know about the... I don't think the lion cares. You think Lorgar, he cares? Maybe about the discipline. I could see that being an issue. Yeah.
Lorgar seems to me to be like one of the people who put on like one of those dare shows for school.
Yeah.
You don't think that he'd be trying to use it for religious enlightenment?
No, because his god told him it was bad.
Also, his god now is telling him that it's good. Oh. So...
Dang, that's
I think he'd be kind of like a Rastafarian a little bit. That's what I would imagine Lorgar being.
Tastefully done, of course. Religion. On the last side, we went over how tasteful these representations are.
What's a religion, dude? That's part of their smoking ganja is part of their religious belief. Am I wrong there?
No. I see his service every Sunday.
Is it on Sundays?
I don't know. That was just Sunday. Some would fall, some would be narcs. Let's wrap up this week with a Prices Redacted. Space Mountain and Chow saying, remember the Alamo is reroll wounds, which seems better in game. But less fun than just making it a bad reskin of something else. Anyway, greetings, bargain lovers of YouTube. Get ready to test your powers of fiscal evaluation. This is the Prices Redacted. Today, we're asking people to secretly assess, in honor of Danny and myself. Hit the buttons. Thank you, Dickie. Warhammer degree.
Okay.
You know, when you search this, it doesn't actually come back with no results, and it comes back with a lot of results that have little to do with each other.
Okay.
The degree of damage the model has?
You would think, but even then, I couldn't find any kind of thing between it.
Refresh my memory. Did I wind up winning last week?
You did not.
No? I body destroyed him.
I'm gonna trust Dickie because...
Can't recall.
Yeah, can't recall. We were too busy remembering the Alamo. Yeah. This one here actually is a really good lead on from our last slide because it sold April 20th of this year.
Hey,
this is a Warhammer 40K Blood Angels Dreadnoughts lot, fully painted, intermediate level.
I like the honesty.
It's true. Tabletop Plus.
Shit.
Shit.
Am I leading off then? All right. What does a dreadnought cost now? I'm going to guess.
You sound like an upper class person.
It's actually $35, Val. I don't know if you knew that.
Couldn't be $35. For a dreadnought? How could you afford not to buy them? I'm going to assume 50 or 60. Assume 50 bucks.
I think they're $60.
All right, $60. So I'm going to go, retail on this. So now I got to know what 4 times 60 is. I'm going to $240.
Wow.
$200.
Val values dreadnoughts.
I value paint jobs, John.
You don't have to do it then.
Four dreadnoughts.
Four.
Okay. I'm going to guess $250.
Fuck.
$250.
My original guess was $240. I'm going with that.
The right answer was $200. Whoa. Oh, my God.
Nailed it
for three
beautiful. Although I did retract it, so I lost my nailed it.
You still won.
I did win.
Correct me if I'm wrong. The one with the plasma cannon there, you can't actually use it anymore. The two Furiosos, I think you're still good, but the one on the far right there, I don't think you can actually use anymore.
B mean, you can use it as not a Death Company dreadnought.
Well, it's fair not enough. The first time something on the far right was useless. Am I right, guys?
Heyo. Thanks for getting the comment for next week lined up early, Val. Appreciate it. Spicy.
Thank you, Val.
Next up, we have...
It's all right, Donnie. These men are cowards. All right, go
beautiful
ahead.
Beautiful Gutter Bowl, the game of street-level fantasy football mayhem, Blood Bowl-game. Brand new. Oh. Again, this all came from just searching Warhammer Degree.
Oh, God, Gutter Bowl. This thing. Fuck.
Street-level fantasy football mayhem, Val.
Right, I mean, again, it's a book probably sold for $50, but I'm going to go $40.
$40. Okay. Danny,
what even is this?
It's Gutter Bowl. It's a very shitty expansion for Blood Bowl. So, like, instead of playing on a field, you're playing on, like, Christ. Instead of playing on a field, you're playing on, like, a street. And so, like, you can, like, run into people, like, in the market and stuff. It's dumb. It's bad.
Oh,
what okay. Val means is it's not very balanced.
But I mean, it's really 40. It's 40 idea. Bucks. Good.
Okay. I'm gonna guess one penny.
One penny. So $40
this
from
Val.
This
is like brand new. Like this would have been like someone selling it. This is probably somewhere around retail. Yeah, all right, $40. Bucks.
Yeah, but who wants Blood Bowl? Nobody.
Oh. $51.
Well, closer. $51.
I was basing it on value to me. I'll try and guess better next time.
You were basing it on the value Val gave. Okay. Next up in our Warhammer Degree, we have Horus Ascended.
Painted figure.
Ooh. Horus Heresy. Art level. Yeah. Sold April 11th.
$650.
Ooh. Out the gates there with a housing payment.
What?
Can you at least get the street noise out of the background of that terrible sound effect?
Oh, no.
You're so bad.
I think that it's less than $650. No, it's probably more than $650. Shit. I don't know. $700.
Damn it.
$700.
My God, what's the thousands?
608.
God, why do I listen to you?
Danny, and I know.
That, I mean, myself.
I know your mind's busy with unimportant things like school and finals and things like that. That drop this grease pen on the floor that I found for some reason.
A grease pen?
Greasy pen.
Val, you've won, but you know, Danny, there's still time to earn back some level of respect.
No,
friends, so family, I don't have
that many years left.
Loved ones. This one here, it's a beaut. Warhammer Citadel GW OOP 1980S Ranger High Level Tisser at 07 at 7 Dungeons Dragons.
He's clearly missing an arm though, right?
It's probably for a shield. Maybe for a shield.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe. He's got like a little stub there for a shield. This is hard. I guessed really badly on a rare model once before. I guess way too high, but maybe this is special. I honestly don't know. I'm not an old hammer guy.
Find it by searching Warhammer Degree.
What is that? What?
This was my response to finding this by searching Warhammer Degree.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm just gonna take a swing at this.
Yeah, go for the fences.
I mean, I mean, Ranger high level TSR. So it sounds like they're rating the quality of it. Is it Dungeons and Dragons model, is it? No, probably not. I'm going $25.
$25. Danny, do you think $25 is right for a Warhammer Citadel GW OOP 1980S Ranger High Level TSR?
John, if I'm going to be totally honest with you, I was also going to guess $25. So
higher or lower, baby.
Yeah. It comes to a 50-50 shot here, as it always does.
I've never put that together, but fair point. How
dare you imply that this is not a skill-based game?
It is when you're leading off.
I think that it is. Yeah, no, it is for real. I've just been sucking this whole time. I have given you nothing. You've just been slammed.
Sherman, by the way, saying TSR was the original D&D publisher.
That's true. They got bought by WotC.
Yep. Yeah, I'm going to guess $26.
Yes, fair guess.
$26. Well, it's
$10 though. No. $18.68
for that beautiful guy.
Could have gone other way. I didn't know.
And then lastly, Danny, for a sliver of dignity, just a shred, oh, we have this last one. Sold February 16th, right after Valentine's Day. So we either underspent because his wife said he could, or overspent because he got left. But commissioned Space Marine Primaris Inceptors, two squads, tabletop level.
It's always scary when they don't add the picture of the actual models and they just take the GW.
That's why we don't no way purchase anything.
This is not for these it's for the commission paint job.
Oh, it is for the literal commission paint job. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you're buying two squads of
six models
and wishes.
And these are probably, assuming a $50-ish kit. This is gonna put you right at the $200 level again.
Moss Baked in chat coming up with a very good point. The tabletop level means literally anything.
Yeah. It's true.
I'm gonna go with my gut. I'm just gonna guess $150. I don't care what you guess, Val.
No, that was where I was leaning.
All right, if you want to go 150,
I'm gonna err on the side of higher than that. 160.
Okay.
160. All right. I'm gonna tell you, you're both wrong. Do you guys want to guess by how much you were wrong?
So this was more $5 than that. No, so I'm gonna guess that it's up then. I'm gonna guess that it was $300. All right, lower.
$100.
It was.
Oh, $465 for tabletop level. Oh wow, poor sweet. From Estonia, my people, fleecing people. Shipping. That fed a family for a month.
Fantastic. Well, with that, we bring to a close the most phoned-in edition of Grim After Dark I've done for a while.
That was pretty good, though.
When I phoned it, it's still good. It's just not as good. But we got some housekeeping to do real quick before we kind of sign off for the day, even though like it's a much better week to keep talking because Val, you're not currently dying.
We're all dying.
That's true. That's true. This sign says, see you next Tuesday. We will not be here next Tuesday.
What? We have the week off?
We have the week off, which is the happiest I've seen Val in months. Danny, you are going to be, I would say neck deep, but I'm going to say forehead deep and finishing school for you.
God bless.
I personally am going down to Arizona. I'm going to walk for my graduation, which is terrifying as a very old fat man. But I'm very excited for it. I'm going to go to Medieval Times, which is more exciting.
Yeah.
That Bretonian is that where they're holding the ceremony?
I was a little concerned about it. But you know, they gave me 10% off because I graduated from there.
Falcon Court.
And an application form.
I just have to wait tables for the week.
What is the venue? Do they actually, are you, because for a long time I'm pretty sure they named the football stadium in that town after that school had the naming rights to it.
Yeah, I forget the name of the stadium. It's in the main stadium at Arizona. Sun Devil something, I don't know.
Sun Devil is the old one. And then it was named after your university, not to Knox. Yeah, but there you go.
If you're attending commencement next week at Arizona State, feel free to come and dox me or tell me that I'm wrong in real life or just buy me coffee, whatever works. For that, no show next week. And then the week after, we will be back. Danny might be back if he survived final week.
Well, yeah. So, yeah, I graduate next Saturday.
Oh, yes.
This Saturday, but next Saturday. So,
hell yeah, dude. Guys, yeah. I'm so proud of you.
We did
it. Look at you.
I am going to be very happy to be done.
We all did it.
For like 2 weeks, and then I've got to start studying again.
Because this show started with your refound academic careers, did it not? Like, literally, as the show started, you guys were starting school?
I was about 6 months in. We started doing this.
That's right.
Yeah.
We started in like June, didn't we?
Yeah. So I started spring.
So cool. Fucking proud of you guys.
Proud of myself too. And Danny. Danny's done like twice the education I have and he's still going strong.
Yeah, but the fucking brain up there.
Yeah.
Absorbs things.
True.
And they don't immediately leave.
Water. hydrocephalus. That's what that's called, Val.
Hydrocephalus. That's what Danny's getting. But yeah, essentially when we come back, Danny and I will have a crazy amount. Well, I will at least have crazier amounts of free time. Danny, you also have other shows and things to do. So we are going to be doing some extra stuff, some cool things going on over summer. The plan is for Danny and I to record a little bit more on our Stillmania journey. We've actually made army lists and we're going to be doing a summer of Stillmania. Very excited about that. But yeah, essentially, no Grim next week, back to normal service the week after that. So take a week off, maybe go listen to that old World Charm, maybe some square based. I get some quality content in there.
Go touch some grass.
Go outside.
Grass. Enjoy the spring or the fall, depending on where you are.
So anyway, that's kind of the only real announcements is we're not here next week, but for good reasons. Danny, we'll go top to bottom. Danny, before we sign off, anything you want to plug or say or do?
Yeah. Come check out that Old World Charm. We just recorded another episode, fairly recently about, kind of the state of the meta, which is pretty fun. And so I think that'll go up for people to listen to pretty soon. If it hasn't already. Dickie, it's not out yet, right?
No, not yet.
Okay. Cool.
Come on, man.
It's coming. It's look, geez. Guys, like, Dickie is a person and deserves a life too.
One person.
And yeah, I know.
Aren't you paying him?
Yes.
Not much.
Well, we had a wonderful circle jerk around some stats this week on Squarebase. Had a fun chat. Again, the validity of those stats is certainly in question, but it was still fun to chat about.
I've seen screenshots everywhere of them, so
I haven't actually gone on the internet to go look for them. So if we're gabbing if we're being fed our own assholes by the internet, that's fine. As long as people are talking, as long as people if it got you angry about how your faction's looking, then get out to a tournament and prove those very low correlated with reality stats wrong.
Unless you play Empire, then you're going to tough.
Yeah, there's one thing that I think the stats can agree on, and that is that Empire is not doing so well.
Empire and Dark Elves. I'd just like to point that out.
And Dark Elves. Also, Dwarves, middling. But, you know, one of the most interesting things I thought was actually in the whole thing was the faction representation at the events that were charted. And the Renegade / Legacy factions, very underrepresented, except for Vampire Counts. So that was sad.
Yeah, really sad.
That is sad.
GW smear campaign seems to be having an effect.
It worked.
It worked. Yeah.
Except for Vampire Counts.
Have always been in lore.
Because they're the best army in the game, Val. That's why.
Yeah, well, not according to the stats.
Yeah, okay.
But we didn't have the most important stuff, which I'm hoping maybe we'll get next week, which is like who is actually, you know, winning events. It's probably one more interesting way to talk about
didn't
it.
Didn't right they now. Back to back like Rob's tournaments?
Yeah, 100%. Same guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Chad.
And he dropped the Blood Knights. He actually dropped the Blood Knights.
Crazy guy. That's insane.
Oh, he wanted more screams. And he got them.
Screams are also very good.
For more. Very good. In-depth analysis in this and check out Val on Squarebase, Danny and Old World Charm for all your fantasy needs. We will be back in 2 weeks. Please stop talking about female custodians. It's much harder to make fun of you when it's the same people again. We will see you in two Tuesdays.
It's time to step into the grim darkness. When nerds gather talking Warhammer madness. Grim After Dark, the podcast with the hosts John, Danny, and Val, but they're not the most. Claiming to be experts, but it's all a facade. Talking about battles and dice rolls, they're all odd. Trying to sound cool with their Warhammer talk, but I'm here to expose. It's all just squawk. Nerds, nerds, everywhere I see, talking Warhammer this, like it's a decree. But let me tell you, homie, it is all just a game. In the real world, homie, we are not the same. So put down the dice, step out of the dark. It's time to live life, nerd, make your own mark. Grim After Dark, the nerd's playground. Talking Warhammer this, acting all profound. But when I listen, it's all just a bunch of noise. I love roasting nerds and their stupid-ass toys. Stupid-ass toys, I wanna grab them. Put my hands around the neck, squeeze, squeeze, Warhammer squeeze, until they can't breathe or breathe again. Tell a friend, I'm out here roasting nerds again.